What an amazing group of students. If you don't know me, my name is Kevin. I am the high school youth pastor here at North Langley Community Church. So I've had the privilege of getting to know and spending lots of times with these students over the last couple of years. And today's a bittersweet day because we celebrate graduation and we remember the amazing things that we've experienced together and the things that God has done in the lives of these students, but it's also a time of bittersweetness because they leave this youth program and enter into other things. But really, life is just a series of graduations. I've been thinking about this and about how, like, we kind of, when you're in high school, you're kind of waiting for that finish line, that end marker of completing grade 12, and then you feel like you've crossed that finish line, you've graduated. But really, life is a series of graduations and finish lines, and once you pass one or graduate, you find yourself in a new school or a new situation that you again have a finish line that you're working towards or graduation that you're waiting to complete. So we do things like preschool graduation. Some of you have maybe been to those recently, that we do like middle school and high school, there's university. So we have these built-in graduations and finish lines in a lot of areas of life. But then there are some less obvious ones as well. One that I often think of working with high school students is getting your license. That's kind of a big deal. And a lot of people spend a lot of their life waiting until they cross that finish line of getting their driver's license so that they can be independent. For some people, it might be going from having a job into having a career. And so you're kind of doing this what you consider a temporary thing, waiting until you cross the finish line of getting into whatever career it is that you have waiting for you. Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys a question. I'm a youth pastor, so I actually ask for audience participation. What are some other graduations or finish lines that people expect or that most of us have in life? What are some of the things that we wait for? Moving out, being independent. And so you live in your parents' basement until you're in your mid-20s, and then eventually you move out some longer. I fall in that boat. Okay, so being independent, that is a huge milestone, finish line, graduation. What else?
Beating a video game.
Oh my goodness. This guy, he knows, yes. And so you're waiting to finish that level, and you accomplish it, and it's so great. And then what happens? There's another level. Okay, what else? Do we have any other ones? Sorry, getting married, that's a huge one. A lot of people are kind of anticipating this marker of getting married, and they feel like it's almost like a graduation from singleness to marriage, which is kind of a weird way to look at it. But there is that. That is a huge milestone marker in our lives. Any other ones? Starting a family is one I heard. So we go from graduating from 8 hours of sleep to graduating to no sleep. That's a huge one. Sorry, and there's one over here. Retirement. Oh, that's a good one. And so you spend your whole life working and toiling and Ecclesiastes under the sun. It's all meaningless. But then finally you retire and then what? Is there anything after that? There's lots after that. I'm going to stop now because I'm afraid of where this could land me. But life is a series of finish lines. And so today I'm going to be using some sports metaphor to talk about our spiritual journey and about how wherever we find ourselves, that we're on a journey and we're called to be pressing on to spiritual maturity. And Paul uses some sports language in the text that we're going to be looking at today. So we're going to be looking at questions about our spiritual exercise. What kind of spiritual journey are you on? Have you crossed any spiritual finish lines? Have you graduated from spiritual immaturity to spiritual maturity? Those are the things that we're going to be looking at today. So I challenge you to be thinking about this through this kind of this sports metaphor. So here's what we're going to do today, just because I like to lay everything out. I'm going to read our text. It's from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. If you want, you can open up your Bibles there. We'll be reading that in just a minute, Philippians 3, 12. Then I'm going to talk about three things out of the text that I think are cool discussion points and things for us to consider and think about. And at the end of each of my discussion points, I'm showing a sports commercial because I like commercials and I find them entertaining. They're short. It's what we go for right now. So we're going to watch some commercials today, and you might get some Under Armour gear at the end of the service today. But we're going to watch a few commercials, and those commercials are going to tie up my point that I'm trying to make so neat and put a little bow on it, and you'll say, wow, now it all makes sense. And then at the end, we're going to do a little bit of application and hopefully challenge you in your spiritual growth. So that's what we're going to do today. So let's read together from Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says, not that I have already obtained this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of these things. And if in some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. Verse 16, only let us live up to what we have already attained. So my message today is called Pressing On to Be More Like Jesus. My first point that I want to discuss with you today is pressing on to be more like Jesus takes hard work. Hard work. Paul talks about a goal or a prize in this verse today. He talks about straining towards spiritual maturity. And we're going to talk about how this actually does take work. And it's not always easy, and it can be really hard, but there's something really important to note before we get into that. And that is that Paul is talking to people who have already entered into a relationship with Jesus. He's not saying that our prize of heaven or that our salvation, if we want to use that, he doesn't say that takes work from us, because that's work that he did. That's work that Jesus did on the cross. But what he's saying is, for those of you who have decided to follow Jesus, your level of spiritual maturity, that actually does take some work. That does require something of you in order to be growing in your faith. So just as we're discussing this today, just remember that Paul is talking to people who are already believers. And we're talking about pressing on to be more like Jesus takes this hard work. Now, this can be really tough because we don't like hard work. We don't like things that are difficult. If given the choice between taking an easy path or a hard path, we take the easy path every single time because it makes sense. But there's something that's actually, there's something beautiful about the struggle. If you were here, that's the song that the band sang as we were entering today, about a struggle and about how that God actually meets us in that struggle. And that we're not struggling for our salvation, because again, that's a gift God's given to us, but we're struggling in order to reach that spiritual maturity that God has called us to, in order to reach what we have already attained. And that actually takes some work from us. Last week, Matthew, in his sermon, was talking about a really heavy topic. He was talking about assisted suicide. And one of the things that he talked about in that I thought was really beautiful was that when we choose to escape any pain, or when we try and avoid all suffering, we actually miss out on meeting God in the pain and in the suffering and in the struggle. And there's something about that struggling that causes us to put our attention on God and draws us back to remembering that He is God and that we are not. And so there's actually something really valuable about that struggle. And so having hard things in our lives aren't a sign that God has forsaken us, but it's actually a sign that we can use those struggles to deepen our faith. Most good things in our lives take work. So graduating, we're talking about school. I don't know about you guys, but I knew when I was in high school that if I studied like none for a test, it would change the outcome a lot than if I were to study a whole bunch. And so if I studied and I paid attention and I actually read the textbooks and did the assignments, I would normally do pretty good on the tests. But if I didn't put the work in ahead of time, the result was normally a lot worse. Now, that's not always the case, because there are those people that sat beside you in biology class who didn't study and got straight A's anyway. We don't like those people. They are awful for the rest of us. So, but the point is when you study, there's a huge correlation between the work that you put into something and then what you get out of it. The same holds true in other areas in our life. It could hold true in marriage. If you're married and you don't spend time together as a couple and you don't do anything to make the other person feel special or honored, we don't cherish one another in a marriage relationship, chances are, after not too long, your marriage will begin to suffer. And that's a really tough thing. But when you make the decision to put work into a marriage and to make your partner feel cherished and loved and beautiful and respected, those are the times where marriage is most likely to thrive. And I think the same metaphor can be used in our spiritual lives. When we say, I've arrived, I've graduated, I became a Christian, I'm done, it's at that time where we get stuck in a spot and we can just kind of stay there and we don't actually ever grow if we're not willing to put work and effort into our relationship with Jesus. See, complacency and comfort are actually the enemies of growing your faith. Complacency and comfort are the enemies of growing your faith. To be more like Jesus, we need to embrace challenging situations and to be constantly looking to grow and exercise our spiritual muscle. And in this sports metaphor, like Paul's speaking here, and he's speaking to like it was ancient Roman times, they would have known about the Olympics, they would have known about sporting, about prizes, about trying to win the prize and attain the goal. And that's something that we can relate to as well. It's the same. We're the same people 2,000 years later. And there's actually, this is where we're going to watch one of the videos that kind of ties it all in together. And so we're going back to our sports metaphor here. So let's roll the first clip.
Greatness. It's just something we made up. Somehow we've come to believe that greatness is a gift reserved for a chosen few, for prodigies, for superstars, and the rest of us can only stand by watching. You can forget that. Greatness is not some rare DNA strand. It's not some precious thing. Greatness is no more unique to us than breathing. We're all capable of it. All of us.
Find your greatness. I love that commercial because it says we're not born prodigies or superstars. And this commercial implies that no matter where we are, we can choose to take a step and another step, and another step, and that with hard work, that all of us are capable of greatness. And I believe that that rings true in our spiritual lives. I think too often in our churches, in our own lives, we can say, you know what, like, I look at our pastors or our missionaries or people in our worlds, and we say, those are the spiritual people, and they're pursuing God, and that's not me. I'm somehow like not as far along, and we just kind of get content to stay wherever we find ourselves. And we say, okay, the greatness, that's for someone else. I'm not going to be a prayer warrior. I'm not going to be an evangelist. I'm not going to be these things. And so we settle for something less because we're afraid to put that work into it. But really, I believe that you have the Spirit of the living God. I know you have the Spirit of the living God living in you, and that with his help, you can achieve anything. And that greatness, that God has greatness planned for you. Pressing on to be like Jesus takes hard work. Pressing on to be like Jesus also takes focus. Now, this is interesting in our verse because Paul says that he is, his focus is heavenward. And if you read the full chapter of Philippians, Paul talks about how his number one desire, his goal in life is to be known by Christ and to know Christ. That his desire is to attain Christ-likeness, that he wants to be more and more like Jesus. And what we see here is that Paul is focused very clearly on what he wants to become. He is focused on Jesus himself. And I think that what happens to a lot of us is we come to church, and a lot of us were involved in maybe a life group or a church community, and our focus becomes not being so much like Christ, but sometimes it's more like being like the people that we surround ourselves with. They say that you'll become whoever you choose your friends. Whoever your friends are, that's who you'll become. And I think that at least in my life, I've seen that I get to a place where I think, okay, maybe I'm not where I know I should be. Like, I know Christ is over there. If this is the race, and I'm right here, and Christ is over there, okay, I know I'm supposed to be working towards Christ. But right here, I see that I'm actually in front of some people. And we kind of get our judging on, and we say, you know what, maybe I'm not like Christ, but I'm better than that guy. Or we compare ourselves to someone and we say, yeah, I like that guy, or I don't want to be weird like that person. And so we compare ourselves to other people around and we take our focus off of Christ. And Paul says to us that our focus needs to be clearly set on Jesus. That there is huge benefit in being part of a community where we can spur one another along, where we can be examples for one another, where we can teach and equip and train one another. That is all really good. So don't think I'm saying that that isn't. But Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so Paul isn't saying, follow me because I'll show you the way. He says, no, follow me because I'm actually trying to get closer to Christ. And so Paul directs constantly. He tells people that he has one message, and it is to preach Jesus crucified and risen, and that is the goal. That is our vision. And so I want to challenge you to keep your focus on Jesus. Now, I know that for me in my life, this can actually be a struggle because I have a degree in religious studies. Someday I might get a seminary degree, who knows, I've been working on that for like 10 years, but I know a bit about the Bible. A lot of my friends are pastors or people who hang out in the church a whole bunch. I know a fair bit, and so what happens to me is that I get to this place and I'm like, yeah, I feel like I'm doing all right, and I can just kind of get in this rut. And the longer I stay there, the deeper the rut gets and the harder it is to get out of that rut. But that's because I've taken my focus on being like Jesus, and I'm content to be like the people that I've surrounded myself with. So I want to show you one more clip that talks about focus. Let's roll that one.
I want something bad enough. There's nothing big enough that I can't overcome. Throughout my 20-year career that I had, I never had a break. After having a year off, found out that wasn't really what I wanted. I still wanted to be in the pool, and I still wanted to be trying to achieve the goals and dreams that I still had. So I decided to come back. I don't think it matters how hard it's going to be or the ups and downs that I'll have. I've done it before, and I know if I put my mind to something, anything can happen. The dry land training, core body strength, a lot of legs, boxing, pull up, chin up, medicine ball work. So many little tiny things. Squats, deadlifts, sled pushes, sled pulls, 8 to 10 workouts per week in the weight room, 2 hours each. Pretty much anything you can really imagine. If your goals really actually mean something to you, then you'll never ever give up on them. That's how it has to be.
If your goals really mean something to you, nothing will get in the way. And I love that because that's Michael Phelps, Olympic swimmer. He won a ton of gold medals, and then he decided that he was done, but then he says, no, I actually have more goals. I want to win more gold medals, and he has a clear focus. He's a really fast swimmer. Now, I bet when he goes to the Walnut Grove pool, he can swim faster than anyone else there, and if he compared himself to all the people around him, he'd be like, all right, I'm the fastest. Life is good. But he said, no, that's not my goal. My goal is to not just be faster than a few people at the pool. I want to win medals. I want to win championships. I have a focus to be the best in the world. And that focus is what brought him to the championship level that he is. And so we need to make sure that we have a clear focus, and our focus needs to be Jesus. That's really important. Now, this is actually my favorite part of my message today. Pressing on to be more like Jesus takes his righteousness. It takes his righteousness. Because here's the good news, people. We are in a race that has already been won. Sorry, what? We are in a race that has already been won. Yes, this is exciting, and I'm not saying this just to try and get you to make noise, but this verse in Philippians 3:16 says this. He says, only let us live up to what we have already attained, what we have already attained. Let me tell you what happened in my life. Here I am. I'm Kevin. I've made mistakes. I have sin in my life. I've hurt people. I've hurt myself. I've made decisions that have affected me and the people around me negatively. I've screwed up. I've missed situations that God wanted me to do something amazing in. I've made a ton of mistakes. And the work that Jesus did on the cross for me way back when was that he took my sin and my shame and my faults and everything negative about me, and he took those things and he removed them from me, and he took them away from me so they weren't part of me anymore. But he didn't just leave it like that. He didn't just leave me kind of bare and exposed like that. What he did is he began, after he removed this pain and this hurt and this sin from me, he started to place different things on me. And he gave me Christ's righteousness. And he gave me Christ's holiness. He gave me Christ's completeness, Christ's restoration. And that is what God has done for us. He's taken the sin away and he's replaced it with Jesus. So when God the Father looks down on you, he doesn't see you as stumbling along some race. He sees you as a champion, as a victor, as someone who is the same as Jesus. He gives you his righteousness. That's a beautiful thing, to be covered by Jesus. And so we need to go with the confidence and the knowledge that everything that God has called us to be, he has already made us. You lack nothing. The work that it took to make you good enough, Jesus already did. Christ has given you his holiness. You can't do anything to make him be more proud of you or to like you more or to forgive you anymore. He's already done it. You are beautiful. You are complete. Jesus says that you are worth dying for. And so in this goal of us pursuing spiritual maturity, we need to remember that this is something that has already been attained for us. You are perfect and complete, lacking nothing. He forgives you. There's one more video I want to show you that I think shows this really well. This is Michael Jordan, by the way. This is a super old commercial, but I love it. You're going to like this one.
Look me in the eye. It's okay if you're scared. So am I. But we're scared for different reasons. I'm scared of what I won't become. And you're scared of what I could become. Look at me. I won't let myself in where I started. I won't let myself finish where I began. I know what is within me, even if you can't see it yet. Look me in the eyes. I have something more important than courage. I have patience. I will become what I know I am.
I love that clip. I will become what I know I am. I will not finish where I started. I know what is within me, even if you can't see it. You need to know this, that Christ lives within you, even if you can't see it. Even if you feel like you make mistakes constantly and everything's fallen apart and that your sin outweighs everything else, you need to know that Christ is within you. You will become what he has made you to be. Pressing on to be like Jesus takes his righteousness, not our own. And that is good news. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to imagine that you never got caught in a rut spiritually, that you never got stuck. Imagine what your life would be like if you trained spiritually the way athletes train physically. Imagine the healing and restoration that God could do in your life Think of the areas where you need healing, where you need help. And know that God actually wants to meet you there. He wants you to bring that to him. Imagine the assurance and forgiveness and the joy that God could bring about in your life, casting out lies and doubt and fear, replacing them with love that comes from knowing the Father. I know in my own life I am most fulfilled as a person when I am closest to Jesus. When I'm willing to engage him even when it's hard, when my focus is on him, and when I am confident in who he has made me. So here's what I want to challenge us with today. Spiritual growth requires spiritual exercise. So I just want to quickly run through some things. If you're in a life group, that is amazing. If you've gotten in a rut in your life group, find a new life group. Find a different group, just because sometimes you got to mix it up. I know I've had to do that. If you are someone who's maybe been in a life group for a long time, I want to challenge you that maybe it's time for you to lead a life group. That might be something God's calling you to do. That's a way to exercise your spiritual muscle. I want to challenge you. We're going to be worshiping, and on Sunday mornings in different areas of life, we find ourselves in places of worship. If you're someone who is like me and you sing really, really bad, you come to church and you sing and you just kind of move your mouth and no words come out because you don't want to embarrass yourself, I want to challenge you to actually sing with your voice. I know that for me as a really bad singer, when I sing with my whole voice, God meets me in that place. And there's something about singing that is actually spiritual exercise. Or maybe it's involved in raising your hands or being on your knees or worshiping with not just your voice, but including your body. I want to challenge you that maybe you need to talk to the prayer team. Maybe you need to admit that you need help. You need to ask people to pray for you. We have the prayer room right over here that will have people in that would love to pray for you. And maybe that's something that you need to take advantage of. That can actually be an exercise spiritually. Looking for places that you can bring about justice in your world. Practicing spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting, worship, giving, silence, solitude. I want to encourage you to maybe find an accountability partner, to get on a Bible reading plan, or to do life journaling. Have discussions with people who think things differently than you and listen to their perspective and let those perspectives challenge you. And pray for your enemies. That's what Jesus told us to do. One more thing I want to tell you about that I'm really excited about. Pastor Tim shared at our AGM a couple weeks ago that in this coming school year, North Langley, we're going to be involved in a discipleship conversation. And discipleship is just kind of this word that we throw out and often doesn't mean anything. But we're really excited about this making a difference in how we do ministry and about Jesus making a difference in our lives. We're going to be spending a lot of time talking about disciples focused on other disciples being like Christ. And so we're going to be entering into a discipleship journey together. It's something you're going to be invited and encouraged to be a part of. And I just want you to be thinking about that and be ready for it. Spiritual growth requires spiritual exercise, and it requires your engagement. I want you guys to know, you don't graduate from your faith. You're not like these students who stood up here, and you graduate, high school is done, you don't go back. Spiritually, that doesn't happen to us. We're constantly engaging in new finish lines and new goals. And so I just want you to be to say to yourself, am I caught in a rut? Have I not made any progress? Am I crossing or pursuing any spiritual finish lines? Interesting time is that when Paul wrote this, he hadn't made it to the end. He was still running. And he says, as a fellow runner, the prize is up there. Christ is up there. Don't follow me, follow Christ. And as a metaphor, he says, to put your eyes on Jesus, to press on, to be more like Jesus. So I want to encourage us today. In the words of the great Michael Jordan, who we saw up on the screen earlier today, just do it. Practice your spiritual exercise. Let's end with some worship. Thank you, Corey.